is 93.7 WEI. It's Rich, Ken. Ted Johnson's going to be back with us on Monday, and you can call us at 617-779-7937. Also, you can launch us a take, Renee. We'll play those sometime this hour. Go to the Odyssey app, press that microphone button, leave us a message, and we'll play them here in just a few. Real quick, before we put top-tier Terp on, I want to play this clip because this is a video that's been on social media. Bomani Jones and his friend, I'm not sure who he's speaking to in this video, I forget. But Bomani Jones is speaking about when Jaylen Brown was traded, how Jason Tatum should have spoken up and say something. And the reason this is interesting is because it was liked by one Jaylen Brown. Let's let it roll.
Yeah. Thing I don't like, though, if you f*** with me, Jason Tatum, you should went in that motherfucking off and sat down to motherfucker. Hey, let me tell you, motherfucker, that's my goddamn guy. Keep that motherfucker here.
Well, that's the part I'm actually surprised hasn't come up a little bit more, is that the Celtics had clearly decided that Jason Tatum is the one, even if he's coming off the Achilles tear. But he clearly did not jump in front of the bus on this one, right? Even if you don't think that Tatum got him out of there, Tatum did not keep him there. And I think that there's a story in that part.
Okay, the fact that that was liked, we got the old thumbs up by Mr. Jaylen Brown, really says where he stands on all of this. He doesn't think that Jason Tatum did all he could do to keep him around. And that is why, and many other reasons, including the old Vegas basketball going on right now in Summer League with Justin Turpin from WEEI.com, top-tier Terp, a guy who is shaking the trees, getting the interviews, speaking to Missoula, and listening to all of his weird-ass kung fu references that he throws at him. Justin, how's everything out in Vegas, my friend?
It is hot, but the basketball is great, so it's been a good time.
It's hot, but the basketball is hotter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where are you staying, the Luxor?
A bunch of us got an Airbnb, actually, so it's a little bit better.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Yes. The Luxor, you gotta check the bed sheets there. You can leave with crabs. I'm not speaking from experience. Okay, so, Justin, first, can you kind of tell me what your take is on, I don't know if you saw that, but that clip we played right there, the Bomani Jones one, where he was talking about how Jason Tatum should have spoken up and said something. Jaylen Brown liked that. What are you hearing, and what does that say to you about how this whole thing ended?
I mean, yeah, there's certainly something there. I mean, that would partially explain some of the urgency, right? Like, at least Jason Tatum might not have went to the Celtics and said, I want Jaylen Brown gone. But he didn't say, I want him here, because otherwise he probably would be here. Like, that's the one thing I really can't wrap my head around here still, is why now and why for that package? You could have done this deal in August. You could have done this deal next year. I don't understand why it had to happen now. So I think there is certainly something there. And maybe, you know, their relationship, obviously, like, it's been scrutinized for years. It's been under the telescope for years. But maybe this was the year that there was finally some friction. Maybe the idea of Jaylen Brown going out on his Twitch stream all this time and saying how was his favorite season as Jason Tatum was working to get back and watching from the sideline, maybe that finally got to him. And, of course, the usage could play into it as well. Like, Jaylen Brown had a higher usage rate than him in the playoffs. Like, does that factor in as well? So for all these years, like, all the scrutiny and everything that they've been under, possibly it did reach a breaking point this year, and, you know, there was no point of return.
So, Terp, you got to talk to Missoula yesterday, right? And he spoke for a while there. He never is that emotional, so it's always tough to read into his feelings on things. But what did you come away thinking he is feeling about, if you can glean anything, about, the Jaylen Brown departure?
I thought it was interesting that he said he had no input, because I don't really buy that. Like, of course the head coach is going to have input. This is a guy that the Celtics really believe in. So, you know, obviously they're keeping him around this year. So I think he absolutely had input. And the thing that's been clear throughout everyone that's spoken about this is they're going out of their way. They're doing all that they possibly can not to kick Jaylen on the way out here. Like, they want to be very respectful to him and what he was able to accomplish here. So I think that's very clear. But I also think it was clear that they are kind of leaning into a different identity. And I think that identity will be what they did the best last year. Like, they were the best offensive rebounding team, one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league, right? You add Mitchell Robinson, so you're kind of, you know, securing that aspect of your game. Who was your biggest turnover problem the last couple of years? Jaylen Brown. You get rid of him. You bring in Mike Conley, who can be trusted to handle the ball. So I think you are just kind of doubling down on the things that they did well last year. And in turn, you're moving on from Jaylen Brown.
We had somebody from Yahoo on last week, and he was the guy who wrote that article about how analytically Jaylen Brown, you know, was negative and all that. I mean, it got a lot of play, and a lot of people, you know, took some of the numbers that he threw out there as a way to kind of justify this trade. But the one thing he also said that I thought stuck out was that this trade was a lose-lose for both sides. Like, it was a lose for the Celtics because they only got Paul George back. They got pennies on the dollar. But he also said that you throw Jaylen Brown into a mix over there with the 76ers, and you've already got Maxey, and you've already got Joel Embiid, and now you're throwing in another alpha and someone who's going to want to show you that he is not what those numbers say that he is. Could you see there be some sort of potential for things to implode over in Philadelphia?
100%. All these years of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown not liking each other, you want to see a pair of teammates that might actually not like each other? That's Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid. Like, Jaylen Brown took shots at him on his Twitch the entire postseason. He was talking, the GM relayed something on some station the other day, was talking about how Jaylen's saying he's going to push Joel Embiid, get him in the gym, like, kind of bring a different mentality for him. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a chance that this doesn't pan out. And just from a roster construction standpoint as well, it is pretty weird. Like, you have Tyrese Maxey, obviously, is their number one guy. Joel Embiid's their number two when healthy. Jaylen Brown was slotted in at number three. VJ Edgecombe deserves more touches this year after the rookie year he had. And you got a guy like Anthony Simons who also needs to get shots coming off the bench. So the whole construction of that team, I don't know. It feels like it's one of those other teams. Like, we've seen so many of them really in, like, recent NBA history that they get all this collection of talent. It really doesn't mesh. I could see this work, that like, that kind of happening with Philadelphia.
Well, I'm sure they'll start building the new identity with Ugo on the court tonight at Summer League, Terp. I mean, what are you expecting? Is he going to be Jordan right away, or will it take him a couple months?
I mean, he didn't have a great Summer League last year and did have, by all standards, pretty good, solid rookie year last year. So I expect him to have the ball in his hands a lot. Like, Emile Jefferson was talking about it yesterday. He's coaching the Summer League team, that they expect him to kind of take on a leadership role, which is kind of funny because he's the second youngest player on the team and he's only 20. And he just joined the team because he was with the national team for Spain at the FIBA World Cup qualifiers. So I expect him to have the ball in his hands more, but obviously there's a ton of pressure on him, like so much pressure on him for a Summer League game here, because, you know, everyone knows they didn't want to include him in a trade for Giannis. And, of course, that's kind of going to be tied to him. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And it kind of gives you a good chance to see, like, what he's made of in these kind of pressure situations. Although it is still Summer League, right? You can't put a whole lot of stock into it. But, you know, people are going to want to, especially when you miss out on Giannis. And part of that was because of the reluctancy to include him in a deal.
All right, Terp. So where do you ultimately think LeBron's going to land? Because right now it's the last we've heard is Windhorst saying that the team has made a decision, or like, I guess he's basically signed or he's agreed to joining one team, and it's not the Cavs. Where do you predict that he is going to go?
Maybe that Lou Cornett voice memo for the Spurs really lured him in. Like, maybe that was it. Lou Cornett came in at the final buzzer here and recruited LeBron to San Antonio.
Yeah, it's how weird is that, by the way, that LeBron was apparently making these teams, like, leave him a voice memo to basically say how much they wanted him, and Lou Cornett took that and ran with it. It's like, all right, I'll leave you a message.
Is that not the most LeBron James thing ever? He's probably just playing those on loop as he's driving around the golf course, using Bronny's clubs, whatever it may be. Bronny is $2.9 million guaranteed salary, which he waited a day after so that salary became guaranteed. Then, like, the whole thing is like the most LeBron James thing ever. So I think if Lou Cornett's message did not work and he doesn't want to go to San Antonio, which I don't think he does, I think it's probably Miami.
Yeah, well, you know what, Miami, the only reason I say it's not Miami is because I think that he's trying to do everything to bolster his resume to be the greatest of all time. And it's not as sexy if you go back to a team that you've already won a championship with, instead of saying, I've gone to four different teams and won championships everywhere I've gone. And if it's the Sixers, it's even bigger because that team hasn't won anything since 1983. So you can also say, well, I mean, look at this guy. He rose us from the dead, and he all of a sudden he brought back the glory days. And if he went to Philly, oh my. Him and Jaylen Brown, those games at the TD Garden, you might have to get earplugs. It's going to be so loud.
That would be incredible for, like, a coverage for us and the, like, in coverage standpoint here. That'd be great having those two together. But again, like, we talked about it. Can he put his differences when Jaylen Brown said that Bronny wasn't an NBA player? Can he put that aside? Can those guys mend the fence? I mean, clearly they didn't think they could mend the fence with Jason Tatum. Can he do it with LeBron? I don't know. Like, maybe that's a question mark you got to ask.
Yeah, the only thing, Terp, that I think that where it could actually work is, you know how we said that you've got like three alphas over there all trying to, you know, have ball time between Maxi and Jalen and Joel. If LeBron comes in, we all know who the alpha is. And so do the players. They're like, well, LeBron's the guy. And maybe he would
and
be
that
the
would
one
make
that
you think it like even more that it doesn't work.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. You might be right. Yeah, then they'll all be miserable that they're not getting the ball enough. Oh, how great would it be if Jalen was cocky enough to try to get in LeBron's face and, you know, and try to upstage LeBron. That would be fun. That would be nice.
LeBron on the Twitch stream would do numbers, though.
Yes, absolutely it would. Well, Justin Turpin, great stuff. Where are you going? Are you going to go anywhere, like, fun while you're there? Are you going to, you know, go to one of these, like, insane, you know, dinner places, or go to one of those clubs where, you know, people are high off their brains and there's trapezes and stuff?
Really, all of the above. You can catch me at the casino after the Celtics game tonight, though. 6 o'clock local time, that's perfect.
Ooh.
All right. Well, you know, listen, they got no double zeros over if you go to the old part of the strip.
Really? Oh, wow, you get the edge.
You get the edge. You got to go down to, like, Binion's, though, you know.
Single-deck blackjack.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my type of game, blackjack, right there.
Yeah, blackjack's all right, but you listen. Don't screw up the deck. You go to the classy places where the guys like yell at you for, you know, hitting on something. That's always the best. The guy with their feet up on the table and they've got like probably a Kobe jersey on. Welcome to Vegas, man. You'll have a great time.
Exactly.
All right, Terp. We'll talk to you soon. That's
you,
top tier Terp.
Tier one Terp.
WEEI.com, and as we anxiously await the implosion of the Philadelphia 76ers, whether they have LeBron or not, that should be fun to see.
And you got to admit, Giannis, Bam, and LeBron is a big three. It's an old big three, but if it does happen in Miami, that team also, I think, vaults ahead of the Celtics in terms of favorite in the East.
It's a good team. Like, that's what they need. They need someone like LeBron, and it makes too much sense. I just don't see him going back to Miami because it's just it doesn't feel – that championship wouldn't feel special.
The fans there wouldn't appreciate him. We know that. I mean, compared to Cleveland, if he came back there, God, the whole region would be insane.
That's the one place that apparently Windhorse has said is not happening. Mm. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Seven!
Not going anywhere. Yes, I did it. I said seven. Nice I got job. It right. And we'll be back in just 2 minutes.